Today's Issues continues on AFR with your host, Tim Wildman, president of the American Family Association.
Welcome back to Today's Issues on the American Family Radio Network, where we try not to make radio boring. I'm Tim Wildman with Ed Vitagliano and Walker Wildman. We thank you for listening to AFR. Walker said one of our Facebook listeners said whatever we were talking about last half hour, they got bored with it. So we're trying to not do that again, whatever it is we did to make it boring, like talking about being boring.
Well, we were talking about something, we were going on and on and on.
Yeah, which rarely happens
was it?
Here.
I can't even remember what it was.
No. Wow, how boring.
It was important. Well, Steve just said it was boring.
You were trying to find the origin of a saying.
Oh, yes, that's right, tarred and feathered. And
yeah.
I thought I was imparting knowledge to our listeners that they wouldn't otherwise have, but I guess some people
that's what Friday's
took
before.
It the wrong way and probably need to be tarred and feathered. having that, being that sensitive. Steve Jordahl, good morning, Steve.
Good morning, sir.
How are you?
I'm well.
What's in the news, Steve, you need to talk about?
We have some breaking news overnight. There was a Baltimore police officer that was run over.
I saw that.
And killed by...
Like run over by...
A car.
Okay.
By a vehicle. And they have caught one of... they think it's four teens. They have
a lady police officer,
and they've identified her as Officer Amy Caprio. Our condolences and
I'm
going to
tell you,
I
don't have any family members that are police officers or sheriff's deputies, but that is it seems like it's a more dangerous job now than it ever has been. Maybe there was another time in history when it was just as dangerous or more dangerous. But
I think it was pretty. There was a time in the '60s where a lot of police were being
shot. Targets.
Mm-hmm. That was all the first Black Panther stuff.
Was this an accident or was this an intentional?
They have verified that the group were involved with burglars in the areas. Officers in the area were told to canvass the property for stolen property. One of the teenagers involved in the killing has been identified. I won't even give his name.
Okay.
Admitted that he drove at the officer when she told him to get out of the vehicle while three others burglarized a house.
So he did it on purpose.
He did. And this morning on Fox and Friends, Baltimore County Sheriff Tony Sheridan was talking. And so I want to play a little bit of sound. And then... NRA spokesperson Dana Lash commented as well on what's going on. This is cut three, Brent.
We're seeing something in this country today that we've never seen before. We're seeing police officers assaulted. The number of officers who have died in the line of duty is up this year. The officers who've died at the hands of gunshots is up. And so we're telling everybody, be on your toes. Don't be complacent. Work with each other. This is a bad time in the United States for law enforcement and the attacks that are occurring.
With law enforcement, I think it's trendy to hate cops right now. I honestly do. I think it's trendy to hate cops. I think it's trendy to bash cops. And I think it's a lot of people believe that it's very easy for them to Sunday morning quarterback a cop's decisions through the keyboard, which I don't like to see, particularly when those people have no law enforcement training. Mm.
Last week, was Law Enforcement Week, and last Tuesday, I believe it was Law Enforcement Memorial Day.
Mm-hmm.
And there's a reason for it, and it's sad that they have to do it. But another officer down.
Mm-hmm. They get shot when they die. In this case, a guy ran. I can't imagine just running over a...
That's very ruthless.
Huh? What it takes... For you to put your foot on the gas pedal when you see a human being in front of you, just run over them. And this was a lady police officer in Maryland. But you said there were four of them.
There were four people in the group. I'm sure the
but one driver.
And they're caught. Driver. They're caught now. The manhunt has successfully
for all four of them.
Yes, all four have been four teenage suspects anyway, who were involved in burglaries in the area were arrested in connection with the slaying. You kill a cop. The entirety of the police department's attention is going to be put into finding.
But isn't that in a lot of states? Isn't that a death penalty?
In some
it's capital,
states,
yeah, that's a capital offense.
And, for states that have the death penalty,
yeah, right.
If you kill a police officer,
yeah, and in fact, I think in some states that don't have the death penalty, killing a cop is in essence the exception.
Oh, is that right?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
All right. Well, so sad. And for this lady's family there in Maryland, but you know, we don't want to lead down a 10-minute discussion here of this, but when you have the disrespect to the police community that has been exhibited by many of our political leaders in the last 5 to 10 years, President Obama, namely, and Eric Holder and others, and then you see the climate, you know what I'm saying, against hostile. You read about police officers going in restaurants and not being served or that kind of thing. And what happened in Baltimore, Maryland, you know, this is Baltimore County we're talking about, but what happened in Baltimore, Maryland there, remember that when they they rioted and basically the police officers were accused of killing the man who rode in the back of the
Freddie
police
Gray.
Car. The police officers were exonerated by a jury of African-Americans. Themselves, but they were exonerated or found not guilty, I guess you could say. But the problem was the damage had already been done. Well, the police backed off, evidently.
Police were told to back off.
They were told to.
They were told to back off. I'm not talking about just that night, but subsequent to that. Mm-hmm. And crime skyrocketed in Baltimore, murders and so forth. So you may say, get the police out of here, but that you don't really want that.
Right,
because once the police leave a community, then it becomes the wild, wild west, and you know what I'm saying. And there's if the bad guys have no fear of the cops, stopping them or intervening them or frisking them or asking them questions, for fear that the cops are going to say, "Well, I'm going to be accused of racism, and my career over and my life endangered," then why am I going to do that?
Plus, a city like Baltimore that's strict gun control.
Right.
Laws, so right. You can't even defend yourself.
So, and that's what's happened. Crime has skyrocketed. Murders have increased, right?
Yeah,
in
that's
Baltimore,
right.
Because of lack of police presence, because that the mayor and the others there, you know, excoriated the police department.
Baltimore even had a higher per capita police rate, death rate than Chicago.
Right. Hmm.
Yeah, if you want to keep a community safe, you have to have what's called proactive policing.
Mm-hmm.
And that is the police scanning the community, looking for potential problems, you know, pulling people over, stopping people, making sure that nothing's being done wrong. But when you take that away, and that's what Baltimore did, they instead resorted to only reactive policing for the most part, which is you get a 911 call and then we respond.
Gotcha.
Instead of patrolling, looking for problems, then basically everybody's free to commit crimes. It's only you're only reacting
right.
to the crimes that are being committed.
Yeah.
All right, Steve, what else you got?
Well, I want to get into something that we have a couple guests coming on, so I'm going to save that till later on.
Okay.
So let me talk about this. We are uncovering brand new emails that show that the FBI top brass discussed the Steele dossier with CNN, and CNN knew about it before they released it. So this was I saw reporting by, it might have been Sarah Carter, who's been doing great work on this, but this is now, we have a letter from the chairman of the Homeland Security and Governmental Affairs Committee to Christopher Wray, still temporary head of the FBI, and asking him to account for the handling of the dossier and the handling of, and his interaction with CNN. Basically, it was a leak. This is the way that they got this ball rolling. They, with one hand, the CIA, and at the time it was CIA Director
James Clapper. John Brennan.
No, who was the guy that he fired?
CIA.
No, it was the CIA. It was
FBI. James Comey.
James Comey.
Yeah.
I'm sorry for that little brain freeze there. But on with one hand, they were in, you know, shopping this dossier, and they shopped it to CNN. CNN said, we need some kind of a trigger, a news hook, a reason to talk about this. And so then Comey goes and tells the president about it, and then leaks to the CIA, or leaks to the Washington Post or the New York Times that he told the president about it, which leaked the memo, which is now starting all this whole thing. So,
hey, before we go to our guests, if I could go back to the story we were talking about in Maryland where this police officer was run over by.
No, Tim, you can't. We've been.
I was reading a comment by somebody, not on our Facebook page, but somewhere else, made a very good point. This lady police officer, I guess, had pulled a car over, or I don't know. Did she walk up on a crime scene?
Basically, she was
she's
suspicious activity.
I guess she's by herself, which I don't believe in. Anyway, that's sending a woman out by herself. I don't care if she is a police officer, is not a good idea. Mm-hmm. But she was there, so she's investigating suspicious activity.
Right.
You have these guys who are burglarizing homes?
Apparently one was in the car, and the three were...
Okay, he's got the getaway. Got the getaway car, and he's an African-American kid, the driver. I don't know if the others were or not, the people who were with him. But this person made a good point. The officer is there. She's yelling three different times to get out of the car at the young man. He didn't. Instead, he ran her over. This person made the point, in the climate that we live in, had this lady officer shot and killed the driver who ran over her, he was unarmed. So she would have been, her life would have been over, and it would have been burned down the city because she would have shot an unarmed black teenager.
Technically, she was armed with a car, which is what she used to kill
You're talking about the male suspect.
The male suspect was armed with a car. It was a deadly...
Yeah, but what he's
That didn't work, Steve.
I know what you're saying.
The post I'm talking about is absolutely right.
Yeah.
Had she pulled out her gun and shot through the windshield and killed this young man, then that'd have been the story for weeks.
Yeah.
That the white woman police officer shot an unarmed black kid in his car. She didn't even give him time to get out. You see how this story goes?
I do. I agree.
This only points to the fact that police officers have to make instantaneous decisions that are so easy to be second guessed. And Monday morning quarterbacking. And this woman may have died for fear of...
I can't shoot because...
No, if I'm her, I'm not shooting, probably, because I don't know if I shoot into this car... picture yourself, you're in front, you've gotten out of your police vehicle. I didn't see a video of this. I'm going on the news reports.
Right.
You get out of the police vehicle, patrol car, you're by yourself, you suspect what's going on is there's a robbery. Maybe it's been reported or whatever. And then you tell the person, get out of the car, and he doesn't get out of the car. You tell him three times, somebody heard this who lived nearby. Heard the lady cop telling the guy to get, he doesn't get out of the car and instead proceeds to gas it and runs over you and kills you. I think the point is that had she taken out her gun and shot him through the windshield then her life would have been over.
Do you agree, in
this climate we live in today, you think?
And so I would guess that that's something that police...
Would have been over, you know,
there is body cam video of this, and so we will know. I'm probably
what happened.
I don't know if she wouldn't have expressed the doubt. Well, should I shoot? I better not shoot. But you will probably be able to tell by whether or not she had her gun drawn and delayed, and just couldn't get the shot off.
That's true.
But we'll know.
But I'm just saying, in this climate we live in today, I think that police officers' lives are put in more risk.
They're second-guessing themselves.
Unnecessarily, because they do not want to have to shoot at a black teenage male.
That is not an unreasonable assumption.
I think that's probably what happens in big cities. And it's more than, and you know, more than what it used to be. You know, am I in danger? You know, is this person posing? Now they've got to add that additional layer on how is this going to look?
You're processing this in your mind.
How is this going to play in the media? You know, am I going to get in trouble with the department?
Right.
You know,
right.
And all that kind of stuff.
What if I do something and I'm wrong, or this guy's unarmed?
Yeah.
You know, that's what they always say, unarmed. You know, that's the always thing. Michael Brown was unarmed. Well, he was 6'5", 300 pounds, putting his hand towards your gun in the car. But yet he's unarmed.
Right. Yeah.
You see what I'm saying, how this all works? You're listening to Today's Issues on the American Family Radio Network. Well, we have with us, I call them the Iowa girls, Carrie and Stacy Stoltling. They are sisters from the Bacon State. And they join us now. Good morning, ladies.
Good morning. It's so great to be with you again.
Carrie,
thank you.
All right, Carrie, which one's you?
This is Carrie.
Okay, Carrie. So y'all are sisters. Been on with us before, right?
Oh, yes. Yes.
You're still sisters.
That's the amazing part, right?
Yeah. Well, Stacy, tell us about, you guys are always doing something to help our country, to honor the military. We were just talking about the danger that police officers are in every day across the country. Same is true of our military stationed around the world. You know, they're in harm's way almost constantly. They're a target. So tell us what you guys are doing with this Operation Honor Heroes.
Oh, I'd love to. And I also want to just take a moment to thank all police officers as well, that we really appreciate you. And one thing that made us appreciate both veterans and police officers, I know you've heard this before, but I just have to share briefly. We witnessed a fatal accident, and we prayed with the man to receive Christ as he bled to death. Hmm. And that was such a traumatic experience, but God used it for good in the sense that we were able to be with the man. He wasn't alone. And we are also given an insight that veterans and policemen and women have seen so much worse as well, of just seeing their comrades taken from their sides. And one thing I normally haven't mentioned, but wow, were the first responders amazing at that accident scene. I'll never forget them. And we were driven home from the accident scene, and because we had witnessed it and been through such a trauma. And amazing how God uses first responders. So I just had to mention that because of what you were just talking about. But our current outreach is for Memorial Day, and basically trying to help people to remember that Memorial Day is not just a kickoff for summer, but we're Christian millennials on a mission to help people remember Memorial Day as it should be remembered, and to reach out to our heroes who have lost their comrades, to military families who are missing people at their Memorial Day barbecues, to share God's love in action. And each veteran has been willing to do what Jesus said, greater love has no one than this, than to lay down one's life for his friends. So we are very thankful for the opportunity to share some tips today with you and inspire everybody to remember those who deserve, more than deserve, to be remembered.
Well, let's see. Now, that was Stacy. Okay, so I want to ask Carrie a question.
Y'all twins?
they're not
twins. We're against that a lot, especially as recording artists. I mean, I'm thankful I've been blessed to sing for presidents and stuff like that, and it's great. We get to sing and have that voice thing match so well. Mm-hmm. And that's a blessing. But, yeah, it's also confusing, you know. If we were ornery, oh, boy, we could really fool people, right?
We could fool you.
Well, Carrie, let me just ask, give our listeners some of the ways to honor heroes. And as you mentioned, it's not just military that these kinds of things can be done, although with Memorial Day and, your project coming up. Obviously, that is kind of the main focus. But what are some of the ways, some examples of things that people can do, Carrie, to honor heroes and you know, whether they're in the military, first responders, or what?
Right. Thank you. Yes, there are a lot of ways we can do that. And with Memorial Day coming, it provides an abundance of opportunities to reach out to our veterans and their families. You know, I especially, of course, think of our families who don't have a loved one at the dinner table anymore, who had someone give up their lives for us. And so, yes, one way is send a card from the invite a veteran to dinner. Reach out. Just do something to acknowledge them. Because when Stacy and I do that, a lot of times we get a look of a mix of joy and surprise. Like, wow, someone's thanking me, from veterans. And we all need to do that. One tip we especially like to bring up is, you know, a lot of veterans wear their hats. That say, I'm, you know, World War II veteran or Vietnam vet, you know, and they wear them in daily life, and it just is a subtle way of telling us that they served. And what a great way, walk up to them, shake their hand, say, thank you for your service, you know. Or another thing we like to bring up is tell your kids, make sure you're telling your kids about what our veterans and current servicemen and women have done for our country. Be sure to educate them of the importance of why we live in freedom. Why we live in freedom. I mean, there are children's books out there that explain it in a nice and easy way to help introduce kids to understand. I've had times when a parent will come up to me and say, my kid has no clue about, you know, veterans, our heroes, and it's kind of putting the kid down. And I turned to the guy and I said, well, have you told her? And he just looked at me shocked-like and said, no. So we can do that. We can step up and tell our kids, introduce kids to veterans in the community. You know, there's so many ways.
Yeah.
Simple ways. Exactly. You just have to think about it and do it.
Stacy and Carrie, we're out of time, but give our listeners your website, your information.
Sure. It's unitetheusa.org. Again, that's unitetheusa.org. We really appreciate you guys also. You guys are doing a great job. You must continue to reach out to families. And it's very biblical to give tribute where tribute is due. Amen?
Amen.
That's right.
Well, the Stolting sisters are from Iowa, and they travel the country singing and doing programs that honor our heroes. Operation Honor Heroes is the
name of this. They have a couple albums out.
Yes, they do.
People may want to check out there.
Yes, they do. Thank you, Stacy and Carrie. Appreciate it.
Thank you.
Oh, thank you.
Okay. All right. I can barely tell the difference.
Oh, in terms of their voices, I can't. That's why I just have to call out their names.
Yeah.
Stacy, this is for you. Carrie, this is for you.
All right, Ed. Thank you.
You're welcome.
Walker.
Yes, sir.
Steve, appreciate your contributions.
My pleasure.
To this program. Brent Creeley has been doing the control board over there for us.
That hasn't been easy. He's been up and down getting guests on.
Yeah.
He's free worked. Popcorn for you, my friend.
He's worked hard. We'll see you tomorrow, folks. Thanks for joining us. Have a great day.